Very good morning. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning's seminar has two parts. In the first part, we will be identifying some of these spiritual dangers, particularly that come in the form of the digital devices and also the digital world and realm that we live in. And the second part, we will be focusing on how we can guard against these spiritual dangers. So this will be the focus of our seminar this morning, the first part, to recognize and to identify them, and the second part, to guard against them. And the Word of God has given to us many wonderful precepts that helps us to both recognize and also to be able to guard against them. And so for the first message this morning, I'd like us to open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let us read from verse 1 right through to verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And in this first message, we have entitled it, Be Ye Followers of God. Let us read these few verses responsively. I'll begin. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11 together. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. We thank the Lord for the reading of His holy and His precious word. Now, even though the Bible was written centuries before, yet we know how the Bible is always very relevant. Because the dangers that we are facing today in the digital world, it may take a new form, but the dangers are essentially the same. Satan's devices, Satan's methods have all been identified for us in God's precious word. And so even though we are living in a digital world, we may face new forms of these temptations and new forms of these dangers, but we thank God that we have His precious word that will help us to be able to recognize and also to be able to guard against this new forms of dangers. And that is why in our seminar today, we must go back to the Word of God. Now, as we think upon these new forms of dangers that we are facing, we are going to focus particularly upon the digital world. What is digital? Do you know what is the meaning of the word digital and what it describes? Digital describes something, or essentially describes electronic technology. And this means that data is generated, stored, and processed, expressed as a series of the digits 0 and 1. Okay, to put it simply, I tried to read up a little bit about it, but it's quite technical, but those who probably study computer science may find it quite basic. But essentially, all your data in the digital world is stored in the form of the numbers 0 and 1. So if you zoom in, okay, to all your digital data, it is basically a string of the numbers 0 and 1, right? It's just that there are millions of permutations. How you arrange the zeros and ones will give you your data. And that's simply what digital means. And so it's a form of electronic technology. And that's in contrast to what they call analog technology. Right? Analog technology is simply where there are variable physical qualities of something. Right? And the changes of those physical qualities is how you store data. So for example, a record player. Right? A record player has, or the record, right? It has grooves. And it's through the needle that presses on the grooves, and when the needle vibrates, the vibration produces the sound, and then when you amplify the sound, you have the music that's recorded on the record player on the grooves. That's how analog technology works. Right? And so, similarly, when you have pen and paper, when you press your pen and the ink flows from your pen, and then you write, this is analog technology. There are variable physical qualities and changes to these qualities that helps you to store and to read and recognize data. Right? The digital world is very different. It's through this electronic technology that's transmitted, that's processed, that's stored in this series of numbers. And of course, with digital technology, there are a lot of advantages. You have the speed of it. You have the space that you can store, right? The amount of data that you can store, for example, books. With this physical analog technology, you need this physical space to store books, to store your words. But in digital technology, when you store them in this digital world, you have almost unlimited space, depending on your computer, the speed of your computer, how powerful your computer is. But you have infinite possibilities. And this is the world that we are living in this digital world. And of course, all these digital devices helps us to process all this digital information and digital data, because you need something to access them. And so it can come in the form of the computer. It can come in the form of your handphone, your smartphone. It is how you access all this digital data that have been stored. And now, this is the challenge. Because all these devices, the computer, the smartphone, while they have given us and facilitated connectivity, they have opened up to us really a realm of possibilities. But we know that comes with this also comes a lot of dangers. Just only a few days back, the government, recognizing these dangers, have decided to change the name of one of the ministries, right? They have renamed the Ministry of Communication and Information to the Ministry of Digital Development and Information. And in explaining the change of this name, the government explained that it's because they realized over the last 20 years, the nature of threats have changed significantly. Right, the threat to the society, the threat to our economy, the threat to our security has changed. It's no longer going to come just in physical form, but in digital form. The line between the digital world and reality has been blurred. Because in the past, what is digital is sometimes regarded as what they call unreality. There was a time where there's a distinction. When you log on to this digital world, you know that it's not reality. But today, the line has blurred where people spend real money in the digital world. People spend real money to buy things. Money is also lost through the digital world. And we have seen so many examples and cases where scams really make use of digital devices, the internet, computers, smartphone, to just rob people of money. Right? In the past, if you want to rob a person of his money, you have to either break into his home, break open his safe, and then take his money and run out physically. But today, scams come in digital forms, and that's why the government is very, very concerned about that. And of course, this is only one aspect of the dangers that the government is very concerned about. Another aspect the government is very concerned about is the mental health aspect, the impact of these digital devices upon especially children, upon the mental health of its citizens. But for us, we know that our primary concern is not so much the loss of money. It's not so much even the psychological impact or the mental health impact, but it's first and foremost spiritual. That is the concern. And that these are the dangers that we are facing today. And so how can we recognize, identify all these digital dangers or the dangers that comes in the digital world? How can we recognize that? And then how can we guard against this? And this is where I'd like to draw your attention now to Ephesians chapter 5. As we look at verses 1 to 11, you will see how the Apostle Paul, in exhorting the Ephesian Christians to guard against spiritual dangers, you will see how it's so relevant even to the dangers that we face in this digital age. And there are 5 things that I'd like to highlight over here. Right, it's quite a number of points, but you would see how it is very relevant to the dangers that we are facing today. So there are 5 things. Now, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, as Apostle Paul was exhorting the Christians to walk. Now, the walk here describes your conduct, describes your way of life, describes who you are, your being. And from chapter 4 onwards in Ephesians, Apostle Paul has been focusing on your walk worthy of your vocation wherewith ye are called. Right? Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. Later he will say walk in love. And then he will say walk as children of light. And then he will say walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise. So the emphasis here is really on our Christian walk, our Christian conduct, our Christian behavior, our Christian life. And what he says first is walk in love in verses 1 and 2. To recognize digital dangers or dangers in the digital world, to recognize these spiritual dangers, first of all, you need to recognize your identity. And one of these dangers is that it will try to attack your identity. Because in verses 1 and 2, you see how the Apostle Paul reminded the Christians of their identity. He says here, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Be ye therefore followers of God. Now the word followers here literally means to mimic, to be an imitator. Apostle Paul used the same word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 to describe how the Thessalonian Christians have mimicked him, have been followers of him, as he was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. To mimic, to imitate. And what the Apostle Paul here is telling us, it is to mimic, to imitate God. And the reason why is because we are his dear children. Now the word dear children it's a very precious word, because the word dear literally means beloved. You are beloved children of God. And that's why he continues to then say, walk in love. And the reason why you can walk in love, that is the love which God has for you, is because you are beloved of him. And this is the exhortation. Don't forget your identity. Where now as a child of God, you would mimic your heavenly Father. You will mimic his attributes, his character, his person. You will be imitators of him. Not an imitation, but imitators of him, where you follow after him. And of course, you may ask, you know, how are we able to follow after the person of God? God has, of course, revealed his own character and his own person to us in his word. But it's also through godly men, as the Apostle Paul says, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. Be imitators of godly men, as these godly men are also imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have borne forth his identity. They have shown forth his character, his person. And then in the same light, therefore we follow after his person. And this is our identity. We have a very precious identity where this identity is forged in love. This identity is given in love because we are his dear children. And when you consider how this applies to the spiritual dangers that we face in the digital world, you realize that one of the dangers that the digital world presents is that it tries to attack your identity. Who are you? You realize that in the digital world, whether it comes in the form of social media or just in various other platforms, there's that pressure for a person to want to conform to what they would regard as the social norms presented in all these social platforms. And that's already a challenge to identity. There's that tension now that especially young children have. What is their identity? Who is going to shape their identity? Who are they going to be? And where are they going to find this identity? Young children are going to take to the digital world to try to find their identity. In the past, before the invention of this technology, the people closest to them would be the ones who will shape their identity. If it's parents, if it's Christian parents, then it will be the Christian parents who will shape their identity, cultivate their identity. Of course, their identity must first be when they are born again, right? Their identity can only come if they are a child of God, right? It's not something that is from the outside in, but it's from the inside out. But as they are the child of God, as they become children of God, parents can shape and influence their children, have a greater degree of influence upon their children. But now we know that children are just exposed to, of course, what they call influencers, right? All these people who are content creators in this digital world, on social media platforms, and then they would generate a kind of identity, and children are pressured, placed under that pressure to want to conform to that kind of identity in that world. And there are other challenges because the identity now has become so confusing in this internet world. The identity is sometimes no identity. Right? Where now, if, for example, just one specific example, when you want to address a person, what personal pronoun do you use to address a person? Now, there are people who call themselves non-binary. I mean, I'm not sure whether you're, like, for example, you all watch YouTube videos. Sometimes when people greet, you know, the audience, right, those who are the viewers, then they will call them, you know, my non-binary pals and things like that. Do you know what that means? Basically, these are trying to address people who do not identify themselves as either a male or a female, right, or just both. So what is the pronoun? What pronoun do you use to address them? No longer he or she, but they also cannot be it because they will be offended, so you call them they. Right, there are some who say, you call me they, because, you know, it's like, not he, not she, but not it. Because it also may be insulting, so they, no pronoun. It's very confusing. And of course, all these things, your children, when they're exposed to all this, they may have the pressure to form and forge their identity according to such trends. That is one of the dangers. Who are you? It's going to challenge the identity of your children. I mean, the government is also very concerned about another kind of danger with regard to the identity theft. Right? That's with regard to the security. I think that is not as serious a danger as this danger with regard to your identity, your Christian identity, who you are as a person. I mean, of course, identity theft can be very dangerous and we need to be careful of it. Right? So you also teach your children, be careful what they post. Right, the photos, the pictures, you know, recently, right, this is also another form of danger where our former PM Lee, there was a deepfake video, right, that was produced of him promoting crypto, right, and then later it came out to be false. This is a kind of identity theft that we are also going to face today, right, the things that your children post, they can be stolen, taken, and used in various ways. These are things that we have to be careful of. The data, right? Your birthday, your IC number, all these things, they can take it, use it, and then do things with it. That's the identity theft. That's the security side, the safety side, which is also important. But of course, more crucial would be your spiritual identity. Now, with regard to the identity, children sometimes face the pressure in the form where they think that they are valued, right? They estimate their own value by the number of likes. They define their identities by how many people like their posts. So if they post a photo of the things that they have eaten, and then if people don't like their posts, maybe they say that my friends don't really like me. You want to get most likes? There are two ways. First, get married, right? You get engaged, you get a lot of likes. You post your engagement photo, and then you post your marriage photo, you get a lot of likes. But if you're already married, the second way is have a baby. Okay, that will also generate a lot of likes. But the point is, children may feel that, oh, if I get a lot of likes, then these people like me. These people think that I'm their friend. But if they don't have all, they don't like my photos, maybe they're unhappy with me. And that's the problem, that's the struggle. The digital world, with regard to our identity, can really blur the line between what is reality. Who are we now? The person in the digital world and the person in reality, the lines have been blurred. Now, this was some time back, and that was like maybe more than 10 years ago. It came out in the news where there was a Korean couple who began raising a virtual child, right, in the virtual world. And they were so obsessed with this virtual child that they actually neglected their three-month-old baby, and the baby actually died. They were later arrested, and the authorities were actually shocked, you know, because this Korean couple, these parents, they became so obsessed with this virtual baby that they neglected their real-life living baby. To them, the digital world was more real than the actual physical world. And that's again what children is going to struggle with. Their life, their identity in the digital world, especially, you know, in some of these games, they create a character. They can become so invested in all these characters. They think that this is who they are. They are living in this digital world, and they are no longer in tune with reality. They have no relationship with their parents. They have no relationship with their friends, physical friends. But now their friends are all in the digital world. And of course, this is not helped with, you know, a few years back where Meta was promoting this metaverse, this virtual reality world. Yeah, it's not really taken off yet because it's still quite expensive, that technology, right? The virtual reality world and virtual reality devices. But in time, it's going to be a reality where they just put on a goggle and then now they live and walk in this virtual reality world. You can buy a virtual reality house. You can make virtual reality friends. And what is real and what is false now becomes blur. How can we then guard against this? The Bible reminds us, be followers of God. You need to remind your children of their spiritual identity, their identity in Christ, and that their identity in Christ is most precious. They do not need people to like their posts, and even if, let's say, people, because of their testimony for Christ, were to ostracize them, were to persecute them, remind them that they are beloved children of God because Christ has given his precious life for us. Right? That's what verse 2 says. The Lord Jesus Christ has given himself for us an offering. He sacrificed himself for us. He bought us. We are bought with a price. Why then do we want to compare our lives with all these influencers? Why then do we want to determine our value by the number of likes that we have? We are bought with a price. You know, and in many ways, this is where parents play a very important role. Because children must imitate God. But how will they know Christ? How will they see Christ? Through their parents. They will see that Christian identity. They will see that Christian behavior, that Christian conduct through their parents. Parents must testify of Christ, live out Christ in their lives. live out the love of Christ. And then children can see that in their parents. And that is the important role that parents play in the life of their children with regard to the identity. That is one of the dangers that they face today. But that's not all, because now verse 3 also warns us of the danger of impurity and immorality. The Bible says here in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints. The word becometh here means fitting. What the Apostle Paul says here is that it is not fitting for saints, and that refers to every Christian. It is not fitting for saints to be associated, to be identified with fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. And we know that in this digital age, this is definitely one of the struggles and the temptations. Right? Fornication, that's the word pornography. Uncleanness describes all kinds of impurity. And covetousness, that describes greed. And we know that the internet, of course, with smartphone also, social media, they can generate fornication. And sometimes you don't have to search for it, sometimes you don't have to seek for it. It just presents itself. Right? All these TikTok contents. How do they get viewers? Right? What would attract viewers? It's usually through some of this explicit material, right, or explicit content, things that are impure, unholy, that will play on the lust of your children or on any one of us. No, we don't have to search it out. It can come in many of these different forms. You know, and that's why even, for example, if you allow your children to view YouTube videos, sometimes you cannot control what are the ads, right, that come out on these YouTube videos. Maybe you say that the YouTube itself is okay, but the advertisements that they may present, you do not know. You sometimes have no control. If you are not there to catch it at that time, that is one way that it can creep in. Right? In the past, it would be pop-ups. Like if you surf the internet, sometimes they can just pop up. But nowadays, there are all these pop-up blockers that can block these things. But they can find another way to bypass these things. Internet pornography, that is a real struggle. Several years ago, right, the Sunday Times, you know, reporting on some of these cyber dangers. One of the things that they have also warned against is internet pornography, specifically child pornography, because this was writing warning against about children, you know, and how to guard children. And these are the things that are now exposed to our children. Right? In the past, it is harder to access these things, but now it is through the internet. And of course, we need to see how we can guard against these things, right? You have to warn them. You have to teach them. You know, in our MOE system, sex education is only introduced when they are primary 5. Do you think that that is early enough for our children? You may say that you don't want to introduce this to them too early. But when they go to primary school, I think that when they are like primary 1, primary 2, I mean, there are some parents who have shared, they already start to learn vulgarities, right? People use vulgarities. People talk about these things. People expose them to these things. And so if you wait until they are primary 5 or primary 6 to introduce these things to them, to warn them, to teach them to guard against these things, it might be too late. I mean, of course, another form of it is where, you know, we see also in the news how there can be people who will exploit young children, right? They would groom them. Right? They will make friends with them first on social media, either Instagram or other social media platforms. Then make friends with them and then slowly groom them and then to take advantage of them. You have to warn, guard your children against these things. These are some of the spiritual dangers that we see in this digital world. right? Before they enter primary school, you have to think, do we have to prepare them? Before they enter into the digital world, before they're exposed to these things in the digital world, how can we teach them, guard them, warn them? I mean, there are practical ways, right, that we can think about. Maybe the setting where they use their digital devices. Install various tools that will control what they view, especially when they're younger. Right, these are some practical things, but most importantly, teach them the Word of God. Teach them, show them that these things are not fitting of saints. And of course, that goes back to, again, how your children must be born again. Right, at the earliest age, introduce to them the gospel that they might be born again. And teach them that as a child of God, this is not fitting of them. Another form of danger, the Bible tells us in verses 4 and 5. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is the danger of idle talk, of empty words. Right, the Bible here uses this word, filthiness. Right, this describes things which are not appropriate. Okay? And this comes in light with the word convenient, which are not convenient. This word describes things which are unbecoming, not fitting, not suitable, right? Not appropriate. And then the Bible says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Now, this word foolish talking literally means stupid kind of talk, right? Aimless, purposeless talk, nor jesting. This describes very coarse kind of talking. So here the emphasis is on the kinds of words, the things that are spoken. Shameful things, right? Filthiness, shameful things, inappropriate things, things that are obscene. Again, the digital world exposes us and our children to these things. And one reason why you find it so much in the digital world is because they can hide behind the cloak of anonymity. You know, you call them keyboard warriors, right? They hide behind some anonymous name, right? Some fake name, and then they can post whatever they want, they can say whatever they want, and they are not accountable. And this is where we have to teach our children as well. Because when we think about the dangers in this digital world, there are actually two sides to it. There's one side which is you can call it broadly, those who produce the content. Right, the content creator. Now, when you post a photo in some form or way, you are already a content creator. Right, you post a note, you post on Instagram, then you write a caption. You're already producing some content. Of course, the reach of your content may not be as far as those influencers. Maybe you have 200 friends. I think that's quite a lot already. Influencers, some of them have thousands of followers. But you still have these 200 people who see your content. There's one form, one side of it, where you are the content creator. The other side would be the user, the viewer, those who view the contents. Some people have social media not to post things, but to view, right? To go and look at people's photos and things like that. So they want to have social media, not because they want to post things, but then you ask them, then why do you still have social media? Because I want to see what other people post. Right? So there are some people who are like that, but there are some people who are quite active. Right, more active in posting, Insta story, in the past Snapchat, right, Facebook also more in the past, TikTok. There are people who like to post things, to share things, and that's where on both sides we have to be very careful. If you are someone who posts things, are you careful with what you post? Are you careful with what you share? Is this going to be a ground for gossip? For slander. You know, for children, of course, that's one thing that they have to be reminded of. Sometimes they vent, you know, out of frustration, things that have happened, you know, with regard to their friends or even with regard to their parents, they vent in an uncontrolled manner on all these social media platforms. And that's the danger, because they forget that people are actually viewing it, looking at it, reading it. Sometimes they think that they're alone in the room, in front of the computer. And then when they post it, it's only them and the computer. But they forget that there are actually maybe 200 people reading, looking at these things. I mean, sometimes when you think about it, it is not wrong per se, but it's a bit funny, isn't it? I mean, what do you eat for breakfast this morning? After eating your breakfast, do you stand at your window and say, I have just eaten pancakes with blueberries with a drizzle of maple syrup on my pancakes? Do you announce it to your neighbors? You don't, because you say, that's weird. You know, who would do such a thing? But when you post on social media, of course, it's to your friends. Right? In a way, you're actually sharing. You know, oh, look at my delicious pancake with blueberries and maple syrup. You're actually announcing it to this group of people. And sometimes we forget who we are announcing it to. Of course, now there are more security features, right, where you can limit the people who view your posts. Right? If you don't put it public, then there are only limited people who can view your post. But if it's public, right, you do not set any restriction. You're basically announcing it to whoever wants to see your post. And these are the things that we need to be very careful of, because from the user side, sometimes you also see a lot of reaction. Right? When certain things happen, they react. If they are unhappy with their parents, they get into an argument with their parents, they react. Then they just post it online. They vent. They say things about their parents. The Bible warns us, guard against filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, of course, on the other side also, the viewer, there's the danger. Foolishness. I mean, can you find a comedian that is a famous comedian that is renowned or well-liked that makes no dirty jokes? You know, they make their livelihood telling jokes, but a lot of these jokes are filthy in nature. Dirty, laughing at people, making fun of people in ways that are inappropriate, but yet people laugh at them. Again, these are some of the things that, you know, they are exposed to. And of course, misinformation that can lead us astray. This relates to, you know, what we recently also learned during church Bible study. Be careful of foolish questions. You know, because your children, through all these digital devices, will be exposed to a lot of information on the internet, what they read, and they may not be discerning to know whether what they are reading is true or false. You know, on social media, people may just post certain things. Actually, sometimes not only just social media, sometimes WhatsApp. I mean, WhatsApp is a form of social media as well, right? WhatsApp, you know, in groups, sometimes people can just post something and then it gets forwarded and forwarded and forwarded, and then no one checks whether it is valid or not, whether it's real or not. Then by the time you realize that actually this is false, it's very hard to claw it back. And so, you know, on our part, the little that we can do is when something comes along your way, think very carefully first. You have your family chat group. Before you forward to your family, is this true? Is this a verified source? Now, what is the source of all these things before you post it? Is it edifying? Because the Bible says, as the child of God, our speech should be defined by the giving of thanks. I guard our speech. One way to think of it is, you know, is what I'm sharing edifying? You know, you ask yourself, why do I want to share these things? Am I sharing a blessing to give thanks? Or am I sharing to get likes? What is your motive behind these things? Rather, how you speak must be the giving of thanks. You know, Apostle Paul earlier on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, right, if you just go back one chapter, the Bible reminded us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto our hearers. Right? Will the things that you say minister grace to your hearers? Right? Be careful what you post. And then on the user side, be discerning. Right? All these deceptive philosophies, you know, things that can distract us, undermine our faith, undermine the faith of our children. You have to guard them, protect them. Verses 6 and 7, we have to go on quickly. The Bible also warns us against the deception, the danger of deception, the danger of idolatry. And that comes together with also covetousness. Right? I've not mentioned that earlier, but the Bible also warns us against covetousness, which is greed. But here in verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Right, so here, guard against deception. Because social media platforms, sometimes they can be very deceiving. You know, in light with covetousness, one of the things that all this digital device or the digital world generates is that it presents a curated version of a person's life. And when your child views this influencer and look at his life, he may covet after it. He may become envious after it. But it's also not necessarily a reality. It's not necessarily true. It's just deception that is very dangerous. That's what we are facing today in this digital world. Of course, you know, deception can come in the form of scams. Right, the deception can come in the form of this AI technology, which also has, like, they deep fake, you know, a person's photo or video, right, to get them to say things that they did not say. This can be the deception, the misinformation. But beyond this, it would be the spiritual deception. You know, it gives people the impression that there's another form of life. It's very enticing. You know, when they travel and they go certain places and then these influencers and then they take photo and then they post it, it gives people that false sense of what the reality of life is. And that's what your children are going to struggle with. More and more you're going to see how people will say that, you know, I do not want to study, I do not want to work hard. No, because they want to follow after these trends. They want to follow after these idols who live this kind of lifestyle. Do they have discernment? You know, sometimes we have younger children who start to ask, you know, if you ask them, what do you want to be next time? What do you want to do next time? You won't be surprised to hear how some of them say they want to be a YouTuber. How some of them will say they want to be an influencer, a content creator. Of course, you know, influencer has a more negative connotation. They want to be a content creator, right? And that content creator can come in many different forms. Now, we are not saying that, you know, you cannot encourage creativity in your children, but you need to know, your children need to know, what are the dangers that they will be exposed to in this kind of world, in this kind of environment, in this kind of lifestyle. In one way you can see is you see how some of these content creators have various parties that they hold. You know, if you are famous enough, popular enough, you'll be invited to some of these parties. And what kind of parties is this? And what kind of life do they live? And that is, again, the danger that your children will be exposed to. Idolatry, covetousness, deception. I mean, in light of this deception, you can also think of how they can spend so much time. You know, it's deceiving in the sense that you can just spend and waste away so much time in this digital world without even realizing it. Right? You scroll, you surf, you watch one video, and then unknowingly, 1 hour has passed, 2 hours have passed. Have you experienced that before, where sometimes you deceive yourself, where you say, you know, I'll just watch one video. Or your child even also can negotiate with you, I'll just watch one video. But then this is the last one. And after that, one more video. This is the last one. And then another video. This is the last one. How many last one? This is the last one of the last one. And then before you know, you go from one video to another. You know, it's interesting how sometimes you can watch a video on, like, history. Maybe you begin by watching a video of the history of the Roman Empire. And then suddenly, you end up watching a video about sharks. Right? You just click, hey, the next video, recommended video, and then it just goes on and on. That kind of addiction is very, very deceiving because it robs you and your child of their life, of their time. That is the power of all these devices which we need to guard against. And that's why the Bible warns us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let these people deceive you. Don't be partakers of them. Now, the last thing we want to see is that the Bible tells us we are children of light. From verse 8 to verse 11. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are children of love, right? Because walk in love, and ye are also children of light. Where the Bible exhorts us to bear forth the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness, and proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Because as children of light, you would expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Right? Your light must shine through, even in the digital world, in how you use the digital world, in the discernment that you exercise, in the discretion that you exercise. Be children of light. Remember, you are a Christian. And in what you do in the digital world, you must also say, I cannot allow my Christian testimony to be tarnished. And in this regard, again, parents have a very important role and responsibility, because you have to set an example for your children. You know, what you expose them to is also through what they see in your action, in your behavior, in your conduct, in the life that you live. You must be children of light. Now, this is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that shines through even this darkness. In the past, you were darkness, but now you must bear forth the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And really, these three qualities here of goodness, of righteousness, and of truth. What is right? And what is good that is defined by the person of good, of who God is? What is truth? Right, where you share forth and shine forth the Lord's truth, even in how you use your digital devices. Of course, there are going to be specifics. I mean, these are general principles, and there are some more specific applications and some of the more specific dangers that have also been highlighted. But you're going to face even more specific scenarios. But remember the principles. Remember that you must be imitators of God. Remember that you must guard your purity, your holiness. You must guard your speech, your word. You must guard your heart against covetousness. Guard your heart against deception. And shine as the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can remind yourself of these truths, then it will help you to be able to maneuver through this digital world with discernment. You'll be able to recognize them, discern them, and warn against them, to warn your children and also to guard yourselves against them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may thou help us, we pray. For we know that we are facing great dangers today that may come in many different forms, not only in the physical world, in our interaction with people, but now also in the digital world, which has exposed us to so many different new forms of temptations and dangers. And, O Lord, we know at times it is so challenging to be able to recognize, to discern, and to guard against all these dangers. But we thank Thee, how with Thy precious word, where even in remembering our Christian calling, our Christian identity, we will be able to discern, recognize, and guard against the spiritual dangers in the digital world. Father, help us, we pray. Help us to take heed of this warning. Help us to not be complacent. Help us to not be ignorant. But may Thou help us to shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we know that Thou hast in Thy own sovereign will allowed these things to unfold in our time. And so we know that Thou will also grant us Thy grace to be able to bear forth Christ even in such a time. We thank Thee for the gathering this morning, and as we continue to meditate on Thy word, grant us Thy wisdom and Thy understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.